nice to see you all. We were saying earlier, it's just a real joy to be back and to see all the loving faces. It's been a great adventure, but we'll talk about that. I want to introduce two special guests who are here. Nandini, you know, but with her is, yes, Senor Roberto Bessi. Senor Bessi is a movie producer and is helping us on one of the two movie projects that we're currently working on. In fact, he's helping us a very great deal on that. So,
Senor Bessi, would you like to say a few words?
Yes. So, buonasera, speak Italian, I speak in English. it's a great pleasure for me to be to know this world. It was strange enough, a long time ago, I was a production manager in a movie in India in 75, and the work of this Pirates of Malaysia was a very big series, Italian, French, Spanish, German co-production. And I joined because I'm very curious also at the time, so this was my curiosity brings me around. And I joined Theosophical Society in Madras. It was in Adyar, it was the headquarters. And the manager, the head of the Theosophical Society, Mr. Coates, if you remember, he gave me as a present a book of biography of a yogi. And since the 75, I kept this book with me, reading a little bit. I'm a normal audience, I'm not really too much in the spiritual, that was interesting, but always kept with me anyway. So when happened in July, in Roma, I met Nandini. And she told me about the project that they had a movie to make, probably. And I went the next day to Villa Banfili Hotel to meet Swami. For me, it was very easy because it seems that we knew each other for many years. This is what also he said to me. Probably because I had this book, I don't know, something. And I started to give some advice in order to make a movie these days that is very complicated because I always... still working now with the National Film School in Roma, and I help a young filmmaker, first-time director, to make a movie that everybody can see. And then last year I produced a movie co-production with Russia called 10 Winters that we did so well, and now doing another one. So this also is very nice to work with young filmmakers and to help to do something that everything goes so fast these days that if you don't know very well the market, it's no question of experience, it's all a question of intuition, what's going to happen. So I read the beginning, the film, The Answer. It was okay, but it was complicated to put together as a movie. So I thought, but why these days we can make a nice docu film that we can hit in a big festival? So if the festival accept, because these days they accept this movie, a festival, normal theatrical release like Venice, Sundance, one of these festivals. To create this is not easy. And then in this case, I thought that Swami is our George Clooney, is our lead, our hero. So we had to tell a story, he had to tell a story to an audience, what he does today, these days, what he did before. How to accomplish this is work in progress. We had to find out well. And the difference between now a documentary and a docu-film is when, for instance, National Geographic make documentary about the penguins, and the film is making the March of the Penguins. This is a very big hit. So, because the audience care about this. So in a certain way, joking with Swami, I said, okay, you can be a penguin in your movie. Because then we start to figure out how we have to do for this docu-film or a new format that's to hit big the festival, for my opinion, because when you go to a big festival, it's a lot of distributors that can see the movie, they probably can buy in their countries, and then we can spend more. Mm-hmm. For a normal audience, it is not just spiritual audience, it's all you know already, so we have to tell audience what we are doing, the message that they through him to learn about Yogananda, about yoga and the meditation. This we can do something good, especially these days for younger audience that they don't know what to do, they don't find work, they drink, so it can be possible. We'll see. So this is the first step, and we have to see what we can do. Grazie. Ciao.
So he and Nandini flew up this morning, and they have been touring. There are half a dozen chairs over here still, so come in. We need the new temple, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so they flew up this morning, and they're touring Ananda and getting a sense of things, so it's very wonderful. So let's maybe begin with health things. Do you want to talk about your...
Why don't you tell them about... I've gone Hollywood.
Davy has gone Hollywood. She had a little procedure, and she has a little cut on her nose, so I'm saying to everyone she's had a nose job. And so it will... This is probably the worst day for looks, so it will improve from now on, and in a week or two it'll be hardly anything, and in 2 months the surgeon in Roseville said that you won't even notice it. So there was a... Do you want me to tell them?
Sure.
There was a little basal cell cancer spot there, and they had to remove a piece of tissue about as big as the head of a eraser. But having removed that, it would leave a hole in the nose, which is, I don't know, some people find less attractive than others. So then they had to do a little plastic surgery where they do a little cut and then move some skin over. And so that's what she's recovering from. But it went, the surgery was very good. They got everything on the very first little smallest possible removal of tissue. And so everything is fine. It's
and
just...
I see Dr. Peters here, and I do want to... I would not have even noticed this little spot, but Peter said, oh, let's get a little biopsy. And so it's because of Peter that we caught it. And thank you, Peter.
And caught it very early. Just, you know, because of Swami's health, we've been going around and having to go to a clinic here or there or a doctor here and there. And I must say, boy, the medical care that we have here, there is nothing like it. It's so loving and so personal. Okay, a little about Swamiji's health to begin with. As you know, he had a fairly serious fall just 2 or 3 days before he was supposed to leave for Los Angeles to do the talk at the Ford Theater. And he bruised his hip quite badly. We had x-rays done and MRIs done and so on because it was very painful. It turned out that nothing was broken, but it was badly bruised. And because he's on blood thinners, a bruise is much more serious for someone who has blood thinners than for other people. So it's been a deep bruise and slow to heal. That is healing now. And just in the last 2 or 3 days before we left, we came up on Monday. So just Saturday, Sunday, he was saying that he is feeling for the first time periods where he's pain-free. Interestingly enough, he had a visit, we had a visit, by a relative of Master's, who is the great-grandson of Master's sister, Roma. And so he's a healer, and he did a couple of healing treatments on Swami, and after that, Swami felt pain-free there. The other problem that he was having severe, very severe pain in the back. And so we went and we had a couple of x-rays and MRIs, and then went to see a specialist because the assumption was that it was so painful that there was a compression fracture or maybe more than one. It turned out that there was not a compression fracture, but that the muscles in his spine, in the upper spine, muscles along the spine were in spasm. And so if you've ever had a leg cramp, imagine having that go on for a long period of time. So it was extremely painful. It was disturbing his sleep, disturbing he wasn't able to work well, couldn't sit at a keyboard, and so on. Then Bhairavi, who has, I must say, been an absolute angel, that's Lisa Kaz, it's in her house we're staying. It's been just wonderful. It's from the first that we arrived, we've been just complete family together there. She years ago had some serious neck injury, and she started working with a system called Pain Free. And some of you know of the system, have seen the book. And so she has a practitioner of that who comes once a week or so to work with her. So this person, Amber, worked with Swami, a wonderful, wonderful young woman, extremely knowledgeable. She worked with Swamiji on giving him exercises to open up the back and relieve the muscles there. The basic idea of pain-free is that when we're out of alignment, or when we've had an injury or something is off, the body compensates, and then small muscles have to do the work that big muscles should be doing. And then because of that imbalance, those things end up causing great pain. And that was what was true for Swami. He was without pain for the first time for a month after his first treatment. And so she's given him a regime of exercises, which he does religiously twice a day. And it's not only opening up the back, but opening up the hips. He's starting to walk better than he has for a long time. So this has been a great, great benefit. All of this exercise has also helped have a side benefit that he has been needing less and less insulin until this week he hasn't had any at all. So he may be able to be off of insulin, which would be just, he's been wanting, working toward that goal for
5 days.
Five days with no need for it. So at any rate, his health is getting better all of the time. He's still a little wobbly, so at this point, Brian McSweeney is staying with him at night. Because if he gets up and needs to go to the bathroom, we certainly don't want another fall at this point. But he's getting stronger and stronger day by day. And so his health is really, really is improving. He's doing much better. And he still complains of fatigue, but, you know, he's 84. And as Harrison Ford said in the Indiana Jones, it ain't the years, it's the mileage. And so he's had a lot of mileage. So at any rate, he's improving all along. So we want to talk about what's going on down there primarily. We'll talk for a little while and then try to end maybe our session by about 8:30 so you can all ask some questions. There are a number of different fronts going on. There are the movies, as we heard now, and there are two of those, which I'll talk about in a little bit. There are lectures. Swami is doing, as you know, a weekly satsang at 11 o'clock in an old theater that has been, I don't think it's used much as a theater anymore, but think of the Del Oro. That if it were the Del Oro and a little stage up front, he's doing a satsang there at 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. And the theater holds about 800 people. Around 200 people have come the first week, and the second week a little bit less, but we think that it will quite clearly begin to build from now. So that he has finished writing the time tunnel. He's been working on that a great deal, and because he physically hasn't been able to sit at the computer and type, he's been having Davey do the typing or Brian do the typing while he either narrates or does editorial work. And so it's quite a team effort getting this done. But he's finished the Time Tunnel book. He has now finished writing the Time Tunnel as a movie script. And he has finished the two other movie scripts, one being The Way Shower and the other The Answer. And as Signor Bessie was saying, The Answer was meant to be a drama. And it's much more complicated and much more expensive to do a dramatic film than it is a documentary. So as people were looking at that, it made a lot more sense to take Swami's life and his discipleship to Master and Master's teachings and so on, and do that as a documentary or a docu-film with him as the penguin. So that that's presented as with the reality of it, but also with the human interest of it. We're kind of very tentatively calling that The Disciple, just to differentiate it from The Answer, which was what his film was. The other film that he has done, the other script that he has done, is called The Way Shower. And that is a movie about Master's life. So it's not exactly the autobiography, because the autobiography doesn't have a plot. But for those of you who've read Swami's script on The Way Shower, it takes Master really from the beginning of when Jesus and Babaji met in the Himalayas, and Jesus said, please send somebody to the West to help reinvigorate my teachings. That's the start of it. And then it shows, then it kind of fades, and then Master's walking down a hill, and then he's born as a little child. And so it follows through his life, showing the autobiography, as Swami says, shows the world through Master, and he's very humble in there. So you can read that and get the impression that wasn't he lucky meeting all these great saints? But Master was a greater saint than any of the ones that he met. And so that's what is needed to be portrayed there. So that is being worked on. There's two teams. One is working on The Disciple. A completely different team is working on The Way Shower. And the team working on Signor Bessie and Nandini, Shivani, and some others are assembling the team. We think we have a writer for that who Swami met yesterday. And so all of that is moving along with a different train on a different track. The Way Shower is moving along, and there's a producer director who is doing that. He has a lot of experience and has been guiding us through the process. And next week you will be able to see, he's been working on creating the website and kind of the teaser that's there. And that will be ready next week, and that goes out. Then we start a campaign so that investors can see that and bring in the money that's necessary to do a film. So those two tracks are going along. Swami has said recently that he doesn't know that he's going to write much more, that he feels that there's a change going on, and more of his energy will be going into lecturing and to being in public. And I want to talk, rather than just this thing and this thing and this thing, I want to talk a little about what I think is going on a broader scale. You know, Ananda, ever since the beginning, we have always been expansive. And we've started here 40 years ago, 42 years ago, however you count that. And so we've expanded. We've expanded into the city centers, and then into Europe, now into India with more centers, with meditation groups, and so on. And so that expansion has been happening, and most of us have thought of that in terms of that's Ananda's work, to do communities, to bring Master's teachings to people, and to continue to expand into territory that we haven't been in before. And that is certainly true. But what I'm seeing is that that's only one part of Master's work, and it's only one kind of expansion. basically it's geographical expansion, and it's doing the same thing that we started out doing 40 years ago, only we're doing it in new territory. And so we could look at Los Angeles as, oh yes, now we're starting a center in Los Angeles, and it will grow into a community someday, and I think all of that's true. But there's something much more profound going on. If we think of it only as one more place and one more center, we're missing the real expansion that's going on. So Ananda has expanded geographically, but that think of that geographical expansion as being one layer that's going out to cover the earth. There are whole other expressions that we haven't done very well and we haven't expanded into very well. For instance, Ananda, Swami has said from time to time, Ananda is the best kept secret in the world. Well, we aren't trying to keep ourselves secret. You know that, I know that, but nonetheless, there has not been the public awareness and recognition of the fact of what we've done. Really, in many ways, Ananda represents the most successful spiritual community system in the world, or certainly one of them. I don't want to get into an argument of pecking order kind of thing, you know. We're certainly one of the most successful expressions. Well, why aren't we known? Why aren't we known better than what we are? When Time magazine does an article on meditation, why don't they come to Ananda? Why don't they come to Master's teachings? As just an automatic thing. Because even though we've expanded geographically, it's like we've expanded below the radar. Now we need to get up into where the radar is able to catch us. How do you do that? Well, you don't do it by getting an article in the Union. It's a secret. I don't want to have it go out too far. But Nevada County is not the media center of the world. It just isn't. But LA is, and it's certainly one of them. And so by being in Los Angeles, what we will do will be leveraged. For instance, Swami is going to do, we're working on him doing a kind of a talk to a group of 200 celebrities. We don't know what the celebrities are. And, you know, it'll be people in the entertainment industry and media world and so on. That in and of itself is not important. As Swami is even resistant to doing that. But that's part of the problem and what he's trying to overcome also. He doesn't want to be known himself, really. But if he isn't known, and if Ananda isn't known, how are Master's teachings going to be known? You know, we're the vehicle for that to happen. And so it's not that we're seeking notoriety or fame or any of that for ourselves, but if Master's teachings and this way of life is to be a force that changes the world, it cannot change the world without expanding into the mindscape of humanity. And so that's what we're working on, is expanding into a whole different level. And so in a sense, it's not even the same paradigm as Ananda has been. It's a different paradigm. And we need to do that for not just films, but also other aspects. We need to do it in print. We need to do it in a variety of ways. Along with that, we have begun working with a very fine woman who is going to be a publicist for Swamiji. She's been in the spiritual world herself for 15 years or so. She's written some books. Her book went to number one bestseller on Amazon at one point. She's convinced that she can do the same for Swamiji. And so the movement is different in character, a different paradigm from what we've done before. So it isn't just one more Ananda community. It's a whole new arena. And we're not as familiar with that as we are with how to do a community. At the same time, how to do a community also has to happen in Los Angeles, because without doing that, there's no grounded work. You have to be both grounded and expansive at the same time for it to really manifest into something. And so there's a lot going on a physical level of classes and activities. We have about a dozen meditation groups already, and that is, I'm sure, going to grow. We have some centers. Davey and I did the first of a series at the Torrance Center, which Turia and Ashley, as most of you know them, have shepherded along beautifully. They have a very, very fine group of people that go there. We did the first of a six-week series on Raja Yoga a week ago. And in fact, a week ago tonight, on Thursday night, and there were 35 people there, which is a very, very good start for a six-week series. What we want to do is replicate that and expand on it. So today we take possession, or tomorrow we take possession of the ashram house. It's been a long time coming, and people have been having to stay with friends or rent hotel rooms, or it's been a mess on the physical plane. But we take possession of the ashram tomorrow, and with that ashram, we will have about, is it seven bedrooms? I think seven bedrooms. And so Dharma Devi and Narayan will move in. Lakshman will move into one of them. Bhagavati and Ramesh, are they here? We heard that you're going down on Saturday, is that correct? Yeah, they'll arrive on Saturday. They will be in one of the rooms. They've been bringing the music beautifully down there. The music has gone from nothing to a high level in 3 weeks, so largely due to them, it's been beautiful. And we all know how important the music is. So Pete Kretzmann will be there. He's in the back. When are you going down, Pete? Same time on Saturday. Davey and I will go back on Tuesday. She has the follow-up for the procedure then, and then we'll go back down. And so Swami wants to put out a lot of energy, kind of front-load the energy, and then see where it goes. So we don't really know when we'll be coming back. I think we will be coming back. But in a certain sense, for us personally, it's better not to even ask that question. You know, our lives have been given absolutely, completely to God. And it's better for us not even to think that we have a home, or that our home is one place or another. If Master brings us back, if Divine Mother has us back, that's what I think will happen. That's what I assume will happen. But we're in Divine Mother's hands, and if she has plans other than ours, we don't want to have even an ounce of resistance to what's going on. And so Davey and I are living in a room in a very, very nice house with a very, very nice family, and we're being productive and worked hard. We won't go into that. At any rate, our schedule is more intense there than we have ever experienced it, except for occasionally when we've traveled, we've had weekends that, you know, start at 6 in the morning and go till 10 at night, and they go for the weekend. Well, now we're experiencing months like that. And so it's been a wild ride, but it's a beautiful ride, and it feels very right now.
I'm sorry you have to look at this very funny face, but just why don't you look at Master's picture instead of me? I just want to touch a little bit, following on the theme that Jyotish was talking about, of a new level of expansion, and how the book and website Rescuing Yogananda plays into that. First, I do want to stop and give heartfelt appreciation to our incredible web team here, Nabha, Maria, Stephen, everybody, Barbara with some graphics and photographs. What usually takes several weeks to create a website, they did in 2 or 3 days to get this Rescuing Yogananda up, and comments and the petition and all the different aspects of it. It really was an incredible labor that they did, a service. But Swami was, as Jyotish said, he couldn't type. And so he would be sitting in a chair. We got him a special chair that he was comfortable in, and he would be dictating. And Brian McSweeney, he and I would alternate. Brian, who said he learned to type by playing video games, is way faster than I am. So Swami would just be dictating at a rather quick pace when Brian was there, and then we would, you know, spell each other, because Swami just kept going. And I was much slower, plus the fact that Lakshman, the computer genius, has customized the keyboard. So the commands are in different places, you know, and so it's like, you know, the shift is the control, and, you know. Anyway, it was really, really interesting, you know, to try to do this for hours late into the night. But what Swamiji has done, and I hope I can articulate this, because it's a subtle understanding, and it's one that has come in watching events unfold in L.A. He wrote that book, and some of you can read it. We all probably have read it and say, oh, well, I've heard these things before. Yeah, we know this. But what he is trying to do, it's almost as though the words and the incidents he describes are almost like symbolic placeholders for a wave of energy that he's putting out to open up Master. The lawsuit, we called it, you know, the campaign to raise funds, Master for the World. Well, this is another iteration of that. And, you know, we got the book, we got it out, we were thrilled. But then one evening we were invited to the home of a man who is associated with SRF, and another man who is also associated with SRF, and also present was a man who had been an SRF monk for about 8 years and who had left the order about 7 years ago. And they began telling us things about the workings of SRF and the inner workings. And there were things that just took my breath away. One, about the book, I guess it's okay. This man said, one of the people there asked us, yes, Swamiji, has SRF changed the way we teach Kriya, the way Master taught Kriya? And Swami said, no, not to my knowledge, they haven't changed it. And then one of us said, but the feedback we get is there's no support system. People call up, they won't answer their questions, they won't talk with them, and so forth. And this man who had been a monk there for 7 years said, I want you to know I have held in my hand a handbook for the monks for answering phone calls, a manual for how to deal with phone calls, and it says if there is a question about Kriya, change the subject and get them off the phone as soon as you can. And it just took my breath away. And I said, why? And they said, well, because only a very few people can teach Kriya, and they don't want just a regular monk answering questions. And when I heard that, I thought about Rescuing Yogananda, and there were many stories like that. And I just thought, this is the tip of the iceberg, what this book is. And, you know, I actually get shivers when I talk about it, because we haven't had a chance to really talk about it with all of you. But we need to psychically support this book. Don't just think, okay, it's posted, I signed the petition, I wrote a comment. We need to, just as Swami is trying to get on the radar screen with getting Ananda known, we need to psychically own our role in Master's work. And as, I don't know what word to even use, but it's kind of scary. We've enjoyed being in the background. Part of the problem we had getting a publicist was that Swami said, I don't want to be famous. And then the publicist said, well, why are you hiring me then? And, you know, that's the dichotomy we find ourselves in. And Swami wrote that book from the experiences he had had, but the more I'm down there and watch what's happening, it was a carrier wave for Master's will that he be freed from the very enclosing presentation that's being given. And we've gotten emails and comments, people saying, oh, I went to this church of SRF and I had a wonderful time and these people were so nice to me. And all that is true. And then people can say, oh, but this fact isn't true that Swami gave, or that isn't exactly right. Be that as it may, there's something in that book that's far greater than the details and the facts and the stories that many of us have heard for many, many years. But it's like stepping up to an expression of what Swami's destiny is and what Ananda's destiny is. In all humility, without thinking we're great, we're special, we are nothing. We are. It was so beautiful. Master's great-great-grandnephew who met us, he said... they didn't. The SRF people didn't want to acknowledge him because he was just being a healer, and they thought, and he's just kind of, you know, very casual in his appearance, and they thought that he wasn't a good way to represent Master's family. You know, they should be something different. But anyway, he said, "I'm nothing. I'm just nothing." But Master came to me in a vision, and I saw him, and he told me to share his energy with others. And he said, and in all humility, that's what I'm doing. And Master has come. He's come through Swamiji. He's come through that book. He's come through all of our devotion and life dedication and the renunciate order. It's like it's all dovetailing now. It's kind of amazing to stand back a little bit and see what's happening. And so for all of us, take that book into your heart. Try to feel the vibration, because it's more than the details. It's more than the ABC and why is he bringing all this up again and all those things. It's not his will. It's not Swamiji that he's trying to achieve anything for personal motives. One feels a tremendous divine will behind it. And we all have a great work to do. We are all extensions of Swamiji, whether it's in creating beautiful gardens or businesses or teaching or training people, whatever it might be. But if you really want to tune in what's happening in Los Angeles, you need to feel Master asking something more of us, and that by extension, everyone here as well. And it doesn't mean that we become stuffy or try to act a role. It's just that within ourselves, we realize that, remember Swamiji, we realize that we have a responsibility. Remember Swami said once, if we didn't do the community's movement as being part of Master's mission, he would have found other people to do it. Well, if SRF is not sharing Master's love and joy and freedom, he's looking for somebody else to do it. And I think he put his finger on Swamiji and Ananda. And I say that with all humility and with all trepidation, with great trepidation. Because are we capable? Are we worthy? I don't know. But we'll do the best we can. And Swamiji is just putting himself on the line, tremendous courage. And he knows what the backlash will be, because he has areas where they can attack him, and they will. And so for all of us, just to say, not to, if people challenge us, if they, well, you did this and you did that, it's not about any of that. It's so much bigger than what we did or what they did. It's about the avatar coming at this time in history, and we've got to do his will in the purest and most expansive way we can. And that's why Swami's in L.A. That's why he's bringing a team down there. That's why we need all of you here. You know, we do this little weekly Skype call with the Sangha office. I have to let you in on a little secret. It's for us that we do that. We need to see your faces. Are you still there? Are you still doing what you're doing? So anyway, I just wanted to touch on that. We made a decision along the way. We will post four categories of comments that are coming in on the website. Those that are supportive, those that, let's see if I get them all, those that are perhaps have questions, those that have a contrary point of view but are respectful, and then the fourth category we don't post, and those are just ones that have, you know, negative, just spewing emotions. But if it's honestly adding to a discussion with respect and the desire to communicate, we post all of those. But of all the many hundreds of comments that have come in, Naba, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's been maybe 10 or 15 that we haven't posted. Is that right?
It's a small number.
Yeah, it's under 15. So the overwhelming response is very, very positive. And so there are many little details we could tell about this thing that happened and that thing that happened. But the main thing is, kind of as Jyotish put it so well, this is a new level of outreach. It's an outreach of expanded consciousness. And we need everybody to be a part of it. We really do. Because we're moving on untried ground at this point. And yet at the same time, I have to say, sometimes you can't sleep there because you just feel Master's joy so strong. And it's a great blessing. So we just want to see if you all have any questions now.
We put you all to sleep. Louis.
Yeah, so you're moving down there, but you'll be coming back regularly to kind of check in with your community once a month, once every 2 months.
We hope to. Lewis asked when we'll be coming back. We haven't discussed this, but we sure are wanting to come back for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that's our plans now. I think everybody knows that we're planning to have a performance of the oratorio on December 4th, which is a Saturday, and right now the tentative plan is to have it in the same Regency Showcase Theater where Swami's giving the Sunday satsang. So anyway, but that's the beginning of December, and we would love to come home for the, you know, be here for Christmas.
The hope would be that we'll come periodically, and, you know, I think we'll come for the Christmas, and there's the minister's retreat, and we're committed for
in a renewal week,
and so periodically, and then longer term, we just have to see how things develop down there. Tyler?
Are you all meditating together, or are you doing your own personal thing?
At this point, we're not meditating together because the schedule is so crazy in the house. I'm quite sure that they'll meditate together in the ashram when that happens, but you know, in the house that we're in is Swami, and he can be up anytime from any time whatsoever. And so.
And we'll call anybody at any time.
Yeah, and so, you know, when you get a call at 3 a.m. to take a walk in the garden, it doesn't add to the stability of a certain time of meditation. In addition to that, Bharavi has 2 twin girls who are 7 years old,
eight years old,
and having 2 young girls in the house doesn't also lend itself. So pretty much we're meditating when we get the opportunity to do that, but it's far from being able to do it as a group. As things even out a little bit more, maybe it will move toward that. But as I say, the ashram that will be started, that is a much more stable schedule, and I'm sure they'll have group meditations. In fact, it'll be important to have group meditations because we want to offer a place for the public to come and join in on meditations. So it's a big house, and the downstairs is open, and we will have group activities and classes in the downstairs area.
And speaking of the twin girls, I don't know if you've been reading the blogs we've been writing, but they did that. They're really amazing children. They're Lexi and Gracie, Lexi has more of dominant energy. Gracie's more kind of quiet and shy. But if Lexi sees a bunch of us in the main house, she said, "Who's with Swami? Isn't anybody taking care of Swami now?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, we'll go. And but, you know, they raised $300 with their little sidewalk cafe for... Now, you have to get them on your fundraising team. Because these two little eight-year-old girls had a little cafe on the street corner there at McCadden and 4th. And they raised $300 in one day and one morning. And it was in this shoebox that they wrote donations on. And when the producer-director of Jonathan Udis of The Way Shower came... They gave him that money, and that's the seed money for it. And now they want to start a second business. They're going around this very exclusive neighborhood, and they're going to be walking people's dogs to raise money for the Way Shower. So, I mean, this is all their own initiative. Nobody's telling them to do this. But anyway, they're absolutely delightful children, and it's a joy to be there with them. Sudarshan?
How are Sunday services going? What's
well, that's
the Sunday. There aren't Sunday services. There's a Sunday satsang, and last week we refined it. So Swami talks for about not quite an hour, maybe 45 minutes on a theme. Usually he will be taking a theme from conversations with Yogananda, and then he takes questions from the audience for a half hour. So it's from 11 till 12:30. Every Sunday morning, but no festival or anything like that.
Okay.
Has there been any response from SRF?
Nothing.
Has there been any response? Nothing at all so far.
Ray?
How well are you dealing with the Rajasic energy of Los Angeles? Is it a challenge?
I'll repeat it because it's probably being taped. How well are we dealing with the Rajasic energy of Los Angeles? In fact, the neighborhood we're in is very gracious, and Bharavi's house is such that when we look out of our room or Swami looks out of his, all we see are trees and greenery. We don't see Los Angeles. We can hear it. There are sirens and so on, but it's not nearly as bad as I thought it might be. But even if it were, all of us who've served in this way experience the fact that whatever you want to do, if you embrace it, then the rest of the things just kind of disappear. So Rajasic energy is kind of not even on the screen.
We're just so happy we can not get lost. It's just
yeah.
We have both a GPS unit and the iPad, which those of you who helped us get the iPad, that we've used that every single day, I have to tell you that. And so between both of those things, we have not gotten lost yet. So we're real proud of that.
And we actually have gone farther than three blocks.
On foot.
On foot.